Get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Welcome back. We're going to dive right into the fun and exciting topic of whistleblowers today. Medical Monopoly Musings number 55, Silence and Dissuade Whistleblowers. Donald Sokin conducted a study with 233 whistleblowers in government and the private sector. He found 90% of the whistleblowers were fired or demoted, 27% had lawsuits brought against them, 26% sought psychiatric or physical care, 17% lost their homes, 15% got divorced, 10% attempted suicide, 8% were bankrupted, and yet only 16% said they wouldn't do it again. But maybe it's because these ones got through it. A New York Times article covering this 1987 study stated, Mr. Sokin said there are 7 stages of life for the whistleblower. Discovery of the abuse, reflection on what action to take, confrontation with superiors, retaliation, the long haul of legal or other action involved, termination of the case, and going on to a new life. Few make it to the last stage. In other words, whistleblowers go through hell. While we know of quite a few successful cases, how many are effectively stamped out by such actions? If Big Pharma is as corrupt as I've been showing, then why don't we have more whistleblowers? This is a big part of why. Understand that whistleblowers were a big reason that Big Tobacco ultimately lost the public battle. Understand that the PR firms and lawyers that work for Big Tobacco learn from those lessons to better serve other industries. And the fact is, there are lots of pharma whistleblowers. You just don't know about it because the media often doesn't give them credit, especially these days. Senator Chuck Grassley stated in 2005 that, according to the Department of Justice, there are currently under seal in the neighborhood of 100 whistleblower cases involving allegations against over 200 drug companies. During the past 4 years, the Justice Department recovered nearly $2.5 billion from whistleblower cases against drug companies. Unfortunately, it appears that some drug companies are placing greed ahead of drug safety. Peter Rost, MD, is the author of The Whistleblower, Confessions of a Healthcare Hitman, about his whistleblower experiences at Pfizer, Pharmacia, and Wyeth. After blowing the whistle, the companies hired private investigators to dig up dirt on Rost. He obtained these files, which implied that I might put a gun to my head so my family could get my life insurance. Rost worked hard to expose the dirty secrets of the industry, especially around drug costs and reimportation. In his book, he reports on an internal survey conducted at Pfizer. This included 49% of employees not agreeing with the statement, management is willing to give up short-term gain to do the right thing. 30% didn't agree with, senior management demonstrates honest, ethical behavior. He writes, if an individual is convicted of a crime, we call him a criminal. However, if a company is convicted of a crime, what do we call it? We don't call it a criminal corporation, but perhaps we should. When you look at the public record, these companies appear more like mob enterprises than law-abiding organizations. The only explanation I have is that money corrupts again and again. Why is being a whistleblower so tough? I was up against not just the largest pharmaceutical company in the world and the best lawyers money could buy, but also the best PR machine ever invented, explains Rost. It is not only that the media doesn't cover whistleblowers often, it is that they are, more often than not, used to smear them. How many do not blow the whistle because they've seen what happens? Peter Rost was finally fired from Pfizer despite employee protections. In 2005, the American Council on Science and Health, ACSH, named him Whiny Whistleblower of the Year, an award for those who outrageously defied his or her employer, regardless of loyalty, science, or even common sense. The ACSH's tagline is, promoting science and debunking junk since 1978. They've been funded by Pfizer, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Merck, Abbott, Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, Pharma, and many others. Whistleblowers may be the most devastating enemy of those in power. All the more reason to use every tool possible to keep them quiet. All the more reason for you and I, the people, to look at what they're saying. So, as I said, this is an important area to look at. We should be looking at whistleblowers if we want to understand what is going on. This doesn't mean that you automatically believe whistleblowers, right? We have to consider what is involved there, because there are, I guess you could say, conflicts of interest in whistleblowing. So there's kind of a more technical type of whistleblowing than a more general use of the term. The more technical detail or legal case within the U.S. is called a QI-TAM lawsuit. That is where fraud against the government occurs under the False Claims Act and other laws as well. And in this QI-TAM, that's Q-U-I-T-A-M lawsuit, the whistleblower can obtain a portion of the verdict, the settlement that comes out of such of a lawsuit. So whistleblowers are incentivized to blow the whistle. But just because there's an incentive doesn't mean it's not wrong. I mean, that's what the lawsuit, that's what the court case is supposed to show. So this is one type of whistleblower, a more technical, concrete term, but then we often just use it for any sort of insider that is talking about the crimes or the immorality, the bad faith ethics, whatever is going on, whether this is in government agency or in the private sector. So as I said in this issue, the whistleblowers coming out of Big Tobacco was a big part of why the public battle was won. And what I mean by that is why we know what we know about Big Tobacco today, because they leaked documents and files. They were used in the lawsuits and the court cases that eventually brought a lot of this information to light. And we can see the same sort of thing happening in all sorts of other industries as well. Whistleblowers, those on the inside, is how we get the information, because it is closely guarded, it's kept under secrecy, it's kept in the files of such companies. So my main point with all this is to show that it sucks to be a whistleblower. I like to think in any organization, and these are just ballpark numbers, but you probably have 80% of the people that are just, you know, kind of punching in the clock, they're just doing their thing there. And if the culture is such as it is at Pfizer, they're kind of just go along with that. 10% or so of people are good, and 10% are strongly more sociopathic, going to rise in the rungs of this. And if we see that this greed, the sociopathy at the top is there, then it gives all the more power, all the more incentive to dissuade the good people that are working in such an organization. So with a whistleblower, we see all these tactics of firing them, of smearing them. Go back to the interlocking directorate with the media companies, right? So unless it fits the agenda, which it doesn't in any sort of industry, the whistleblowers tend to not get much media coverage in a positive way. They're much more likely to get smeared. I mean, think of Julian Assange, not the technical type of whistleblower, but consider that in many ways, and he has been held under lockdown in some atrocious conditions right now for a long time, and they're charging him under the Espionage Act, even though he's not a U.S. citizen. So it's horrible to be a whistleblower, to fight against power, because you have to understand, oftentimes it's one or a few people that are up against these huge companies. And as Ross said there, it's not just the companies themselves, but the PR machine, the lawyers, everything they can afford as well. So this study that was mentioned here, this was back in 1987. I'm not aware of if there's any other studies like this done more recently, but I imagine the numbers would actually get worse. Why? Because these industries, these companies, their revolving door with the government, the techniques used have gotten more powerful. They can do even more against people to make it even more of a living hell to go through. So this is why we probably don't see as many whistleblowers. Here's a fun thing, fun in a twisted sense, right? There's actually a whole bunch of whistleblowers. If you go looking for them, you can find the details of it. But it's not put into the public conscious because it doesn't serve agendas. The media, funded by pharma, largely, as we've talked about, does not want to put these whistleblowers up on a pedestal. They want to squash them down. So one, if you hear about them, you hear about them in a negative light, or better yet, you never even hear about them in the first place. So in coming issues, we're talking about a lot of different whistleblowers. I had never heard of the vast majority of these before. Likely you have not either, because, you know, if no one hears about it, then it's not really much of a problem. So we really do want to look at how the media treats the whistleblowers. Again, this doesn't mean you automatically believe a whistleblower, but take a look at what they're saying, especially if they have documentation, memos, proof of what they're saying. That can be very useful. And then we need to look at the other side. What tactics are being used to dissuade them? As I said, we'll see lots of examples of that. So whistleblowers, super important, and if we can understand, there are a whole bunch of whistleblowers in this area of big pharma, within the regulators of them, the government, other people surrounding. If we listen to these insiders, you know, don't listen to me, I'm an outsider. I'm just presenting the information of the insiders, and the insiders are people that would know. And when we understand the tactics of smearing them, of discrediting them in order to try to make them go away, then we can see how the games are being played, and then we can see that what the whistleblowers are saying, oftentimes, is the truth. So we should listen. At Lost Empire Herbs, we guarantee our herbs will change your life or your money back. More energy, mental focus, better sleep, sex, hormones, workouts, and more. Unlike the vast majority of supplements out there, with us you can notice a feelable difference to perform at your peak, or you don't have to pay for them. That's what performance herbalism is all about. Get started by going to LostEmpireHerbs.com and take our new quiz to find the right herbs for you.